Hey, fellow Freedom fans, I'm David Allen Carmichael here on the Eagle 104.3 FM. I've got something that I'm doing today, and I think this is important. Sometimes your talk radio shows, and you'll hear the best of so-and-so. Hopefully today you're going to hear a little bit of the best of so-and-so. I've been doing this Faith and Freedom show in different places. I did it here in Florida 2.5 years ago. And I did it in Virginia. And what I did one time is there was a Valentine's Day show that I did. And I was listening to it. And I thought, you know what, the stuff that's being said here is important for today. So what I've done is I have brought to you that show that happened February of 2008. But it's worth listening to. It's not going to do you a bit of good to call in during that. But I want you to tune in and consider it. And, of course, you can call me back at 888-850-1872 and talk about the things you hear. So let's go ahead. Here we go. Here's my February 2008 Valentine's Day message. We welcome you on this Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day. And, yes, there's probably other things I would be doing on Valentine's Day if I didn't have to be on the radio. But hopefully tonight somebody out there will get a dinner for two. A dinner for two. Just for being there. It's called my wife. She doesn't know it yet, but she's getting a dinner for two. But yes, this week we had a significant election, a primary run, both for the Democrats and the Republicans in Virginia. And the big news is the Democrats won in this Potomac primary. The Democrats won. McCain, the Democrat from Arizona, won the Republican primary in Virginia, Maryland, and Washington, D.C. And Barack Obama, the Democrat from Illinois, won the Democratic Party in those states. Yes, weird but true. So it was interesting to watch the comments that people made. I was watching some comments that people are making about Mr. Huckabee, because the big thing was with Republicans is with Romney not really stepping completely out. He's kind of holding on to his delegates. And Huckabee doing very well, actually, having some very close races and having some states to go. Mr. McCain doesn't have all the delegates he needs to just take and run with the Republican nomination. So a lot of people have been asking Mr. Huckabee to step out. In fact, I guess Mr. Romney's team asked Mr. Huckabee to step out of the race several weeks ago, and Huckabee just pressed smartly forward. It's interesting what's going on here. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because if you've been listening to talk radio, and if you're listening to talk radio now, it's probably because you listen to talk radio. If you've been listening to talk radio, most of it is conservative, and most of the people in the conservative bent have been making comments about Mr. McCain's non-conservatism. So because of their concern about his non-conservatism, there's a lot of, let's say, I was listening to Laura Ingraham today on the 670 AM talk radio this morning during the Laura Ingraham show, and she was saying something about the legs of the stool of the Republican platform and having some legs missing with regard to Mr. McCain. So I see what's going on here, and somebody said today, well, if Mr. Huckabee doesn't step out, there's going to have to be this great big convention. Well, it just occurred to me today that if Mr. Huckabee stands in there with a conservative message, that if you put all the conservative votes together, I would say that the Ron Paul votes are conservative votes. And the reason I say conservative, I was just talking to somebody here in the studio, and we're talking about Republicans. And the Republican mindset, if you actually read their platform, if you actually read or listen to the creed, if you've ever gone to any of their meetings, they hint toward Jeffersonianism, where they're talking about what the purpose of government is, what the boundaries of government should be, and what the ends of government are. And I'm actually going to have a James Madison moment here, where I quote from the Federalist number 51. Hey, I've got it right in front of me. I might as well do it, but I have to turn to the right page where I have the nice pink highlighting. Madison said in the Federalist number 51, justice is the end of government. It is the end of civil society. It ever has been and ever will be pursued until it be obtained or until liberty be lost in the pursuit. In a society under the forms of which a stronger faction can readily unite and oppress the weaker, anarchy may as truly be said to reign as in a state of nature where the weaker individual is not secured against the violence of the stronger. That's a, you know, James Madison and Mr. Jefferson, they got along in a lot of things. And some of the things that you hear from the Republican platform go right along with what those gentlemen were saying a couple of hundred years ago. So if some of the things that Mr. Romney said and some of the things that Mr. Huckabee said and some of the things that Mr. Paul said, if they were all put together and they put together those people who voted for them, I think the swing would go in their favor if they combined their votes. I think they would be weightier than Mr. McCain's votes at this point. On the big Super Tuesday primary, Mr. McCain won California, which is kind of interesting. And I guess you might have said, the Democrats win California today in the Super Tuesday primary. The Democrat from Arizona, Mr. McCain, won in the Republican primary. And I guess at that point, it was Hillary Clinton that won for the Democratic primary. But there's some concern on the conservative camp. There's a concern in the conservative camp. I've heard a lot of comments today, or actually lately, about, well, if the Republican Party wants to retain or maintain its power, what they're going to have to do is change because there's a new generation coming and they've got to align themselves with the new generation. Well, the reason that's true, that I'm just looking at this, the reason that's true, not many of the new generation have been taught some of the old school ideas. The new generation has been raised primarily by the NEA, the National Education Association. There's basically, if you think about where our country has been mentored here in the last several generations, it's been mentored by a public school system. And it's not that there's not really great people teaching in the public schools. It's just that there are some academics behind those teachers. There are people who are putting together a program of training that the teachers have to implement. And it has basically been teaching this current generation not much in the way of what it takes to preserve society. I was reading a government textbook that was out of a high school that is, it's actually a current textbook. It was a young man, I was talking to him and he was showing me his homework and I was reading the government textbook. And what it did is it showed government in its state of chaos. It mentioned some people in America's history, but it really described our government as being something that was very chaotic. And it talked about bureaucracies as being very chaotic. And it talked about the political process and different views as being very chaotic. And if you've been paying any attention to some of the wranglings of the people running for office, it's kind of chaotic. And what happens with this chaos is we are distracted from really issues and points that are really important, things that are that we could really sink our teeth into. And we're kind of distracted by the fray of the event. They might raise some issues about healthcare and say, well, I think we should have mandatory national healthcare. And the other team says, no, we should have semi-partial voluntary mandatory healthcare. And we get all spun up in that argument without even stopping and looking at, okay, wait a minute. What does the federal government have to do with the human being, the actual individual person's healthcare business? What is that part of the federal government, of part of the U.S. Constitution, a part of federalism, where somebody who's running for president is going to determine every human American in existence health insurance program? Why are we having the discussion? And we're so far away from the reality of the purpose of government and what our civic duty is one to another that we start getting caught up in these crazy discussions, forgetting that it's probably a discussion we ought not to be having. So that's why I have this Faith and Freedom Show. I've actually got a vision for this Faith and Freedom Show to discuss these issues and actually talk about the substance that drives them. Talk about the principles of healthcare and what the government should be doing with regard to it. I, yes, am going to Pennsylvania tomorrow to pick up 84 computer systems. And we're going to take 84 computer systems. Somebody's donated a truck. We're going to fill the truck and we're going to bring it back down here. And then on Sunday, I'm going to drive to Miami with 84 computer systems. We're giving them to an organization down in Guatemala. In Guatemala, there's a friend of mine who used to work at Newport News Shipbuilding in a designing kind of engineering kind of place there. And he gave it all up, sold his house, went to Guatemala to start building water filters. Water filters for villages that have dirty, disgusting, unhealthy water. And while he was there, by the way, he just told them about Jesus. You know, Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount and raised people from the dead. Well, my friend of mine, Dan, went down there and gave people clean water and told them about Jesus. In the meantime, he started an AWANA program. If you've ever heard of AWANA, it's A-W-A-N-A. Approved workmen are not ashamed. That is what that acronym stands for. And they started an AWANA program, and they didn't even know they were going to do it. It just happened. It's been very successful. But wait, there's more. The local school asked them to start teaching English. So they started doing that. But wait, there's more. They asked them if they could actually teach a computer course. Now, I used to teach computer skills for free in the community, mostly on the peninsula, a little bit on the south side, where I would give people introduction to computers and word processing. Now, there was a catch. It was free, and it was 8 sessions of 2 hours, and it was free. Yes, it was completely free. We did not ask for donations. We didn't do any of that. We just gave people free computer training because it met their physical needs. And yes, 10 minutes out of every 2-hour session, I got to tell people about Jesus. I know it was kind of sneaky on my part, but that was the deal when they came into it. I'd give them 2 hours a day. They'd give me 10 minutes. It was a fair trade. So what I'm doing is I'm taking these computers down to Guatemala. And we're probably going to have, I guess, while I'm gone this Sunday, they're actually going to take a offering at Restoration Church in Hampton to try to pay for it and hopefully give a gift to the guy who's providing a truck for us. He doesn't know it's coming, but it would be kind of nice for him to get some blessing, the fact that he's giving up his truck he normally uses for his construction work. So I just really appreciate what people do. I appreciate what's going on in Guatemala. I'm excited about this opportunity. Wanted to let you know about it. I would also like you to take note of our website. It's www, as most things are, faithfreedoms.org. That's faithfreedoms.org. We have podcasts at faithfreedoms.net. And if you go to faithfreedoms.net, I've got titles for all the shows that we've done here in the last 6 months. And some of them are kind of scary. So I encourage you to check that out. But you can find out more about Freedom Ministries and the things that we do. I'm going to continue with, before I took the break, we were talking about people not knowing what the conservative viewpoint is. And as I was saying, I listened to Laura Ingraham, and she lovingly rants and raves about the conservative viewpoint. But who is being taught the conservative viewpoint? Our churches aren't teaching a conservative viewpoint. I think they're not really teaching. Sometimes they're not teaching biblical application. In other words, here's the plan for conservation for your life. There is a way that will be right, and it isn't what you can come up with in your own eyes. There is a way that works, and if you apply it, you're going to reap the blessings. Just like when financial advisors, they don't just haphazardly invest in things they feel like investing in. So even in your own life, if you want to prosper, you can't just go around doing what you feel like doing. It'll end up into destruction. If you just feel like being chaotic, you're going to reap chaos. So there's a law of conservation. There's things you can do that will conserve your life. Yes, that's it. Conservation. Entropy, conservation, and all the wonderful laws of nature. They apply in many ways. There's a lot of do and it'll be done unto you kind of thing. You reap what you sow. What goes around comes around. There's laws. There's things that take effect in society, in nature, and all kinds of things. So thanks to listening to the Eagle 104.3 FM. I hope we've given you some substance today that has stirred your mind, your heart, and everything about you. My hope is that we're all going to be changing for the better perpetually. But it takes some energy and some calorie burning. Hey, we'll be back on this Faith and Freedom Show on the Eagle 104.3 FM for Liberty Works Radio Network.